This morning we're going to talk about comfort, Christmas comfort. And for the next three times we're together, which is this morning, and then next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night, should you choose to come twice next week, we're going to look at God's desire to bring comfort to His people in the sending of His Son Jesus into the world. There's a great verse from the Old Testament that is one of the opening stanzas, the opening lines that God sent in relation to the sending of His Son into the world. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. It's a very simple word that God said to the prophet. He simply said, let's read it together. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. That was the opening of Isaiah chapter 40, and the verse that follows is the verse that was read this morning from Luke, because the next verses from Isaiah 40 are applied to John the Baptist, who came preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make every valley high, every mountain low, and let the Lord come to you. And God said, I'm sending comfort into the world. And the comfort was in His Son, Jesus Christ. How is Jesus comfort, and why do we need it? That's what we're going to be looking at. I've decided to stay in the Gospel of John because there's so many places in the Gospel of John which we've been studying together which reference the comfort of God. I would say we've never needed comfort more than we need it today. Today, our world, and many of us in this room know what it is to be going so headlong in life at breakneck pace that this is a good time to just say, what is the comfort that God can give? Who needs comfort? Anyone anxious? Anyone fearful? Anyone heavy laden? Anyone who hungers and thirsts for more? When God offered to send comfort, He sent it in His Son. Comfort my people. The Lord is coming. A great line. So we're going to look at the way God sent His Son into the world to bring comfort to us. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. In our times together, we're going to look at Christ and the way He came into the world. This morning, we're looking at Jesus as the King who came to bring a lasting peace. This babe in the manger came to bring comfort in the form of a king. And all of our carols, many of them reference Jesus Christ as a king, which is exactly what He is and who He is, and it's declared for us in the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you first to open your Bible with me to the Gospel of John. First, just to keep your finger there, but John chapter 18, we're going to go to the end of His life. But before we, just so you'll be ready, John chapter 18. But first, for your notes, let me suggest that Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, as we often sing, is prophesied as such by God, promised by God. God promised that He would send His Son and that He would be a king. Now, when we think of the life of Jesus, we don't see Him fully enthroned as a king in the way He lived here for 33 years of His life, and certainly not in the way He died. So in what sense is Jesus a king? God promised that He would send His Son and that He would be king. Do you know when that first began? It first began in the Old Testament. In fact, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God, to the first king of Israel, David, said to David in 2 Samuel 7, when your days are over and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne and his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the Son of Man, but my loving kindness will not depart from him, as I took away as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. And your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. To David, king of Israel, Saul, David, Solomon, God said, I will establish your kingdom forever. And we know that the kingdom of Solomon was not established forever. But what we learn is that out of the line of David, God did establish a kingdom forever, the kingdom of his son, Jesus. And it is of his son, Jesus, that God calls him a king. In fact, if you go all the way to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the writer of Hebrews looks at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a king. Let's read it together. But of the Son, he says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of this kingdom. That is, to the Son, God said, Your kingdom is forever. That began with the prophecy to David, king of Israel, out of your lineage will come a son who will be king forever. It was promised by God. Secondly, that Jesus would be king of kings was prophesied by the prophets throughout the Old Testament. The prophets prophesied that Jesus would be king. We sing, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the, what's the next word? And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The prince, the king, the ruler of peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish that. That's Isaiah 9:6. The prophets of the Old Testament promised that when the Christ would come, he would be king. In fact, here's one other prophecy worthy of noting. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, from little town of Bethlehem, shall come forth for me. This is God. There will come one from you, O little town of Bethlehem, one who will come for me, who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient of days. Who can that be? This is the eternal Son of God, the King. He will come for God, as God, to be King. The prophets declared, this is King of Kings. If that weren't enough, it's announced by an angel that he is King. It was read for us this morning, this little piece wasn't quite in the reading. It preceded where the reading began this morning. But an angel came to Mary and said, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. And Mary was troubled, and God brought her comfort. And in his comfort, he said, Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Here's the rest of what the angel said to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Let's read the rest together. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He's king, declared by God, announced by prophets, affirmed by an angel who came to Mary and said, This one that you will bear will be a king. And now, lastly, this fourth line. What I'm doing, you're going to have a framework. Who is this Jesus? He is king. Is he really king? Yes. Fourth, it was claimed by Christ himself that he is a king. And this takes us to our text this morning, John chapter 18. Now, John chapter 18 is not typically thought of as a Christmas passage. Do you know that? In fact, this is the very end of Jesus' life. And he is standing in John 18 right before Pontius Pilate. Now, why did you pick this text for Christmas? Because of what Jesus says of himself that affirms he is a king who brings peace. Okay, so here we are, claimed by Christ himself to be king. I'm in John chapter 18. I'm going to begin reading in verse 33. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate answered and said, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Now let's read the rest together. Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So you are a king? You have said correctly. I am a king. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the King of Heaven, the King of Israel, the King of all who hear my voice. When we sing, this is Christ the King, whom angels guard and shepherds sing, hail him, Christ the King. The problem is that he's missed this king, isn't he? And not recognized. He goes unrecognized. In fact, in this context, he is not recognized by Pilate. Pilate misses it altogether. And throughout his life, he was missed as the king of Israel. He was unrecognized during his lifetime. And one of the reasons they refused to recognize him was because of his unusual birth. His birth to Mary and Joseph. That's why many missed him. In fact, in his lifetime, in Matthew chapter 13, we read that as he was teaching in his own hometown, in their synagogues, they were so astonished at his teaching, and they said to one another, "Where did this man get this wisdom and the miraculous power that he displays? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary's son? And here are his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" As they watched in astonishment, his life and his teachings. And they absolutely missed who he was. They said, this is the carpenter's son. No, it's not the carpenter's son. The carpenter was his legal father, but not his real father, right? Because he was born of the Virgin. This is Christ the King whom God sent. Another time, others who knew the scriptures better but didn't know his lineage, recorded in John chapter 7, said, "Certainly this is the prophet. This is the Christ." And others said, "Well, surely Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Hasn't the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and from Bethlehem and the village where David was?" So there arose a division among the multitude because of him. They didn't understand that that really was Jesus. You should know that Matthew's lineage, recorded in Matthew chapter 1, offers proof that Jesus does indeed come from the royal line of David. And the lineage described in Matthew chapter 1 is a careful record that Jesus Christ comes through the lineage of David and Mary. both of whom are of the household of David. So he's claimed to be king, but not recognized. In fact, while your finger's here in Matthew chapter 18, let's go back to a verse we read earlier from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. Remember this? Speaking of Jesus, that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He was missed. See, I'm concerned that we might miss the comfort that God wants to bring at Christmas because we might not recognize that Jesus Christ is King. Maybe we think of him as the babe in the manger, but he's King of the creche. He is the King there. Humble King. And if we don't recognize him as such, we'll jeopardize our ability to experience the comfort that this King wants to bring. And so I want to share some kingdom realities with you. Kingdom realities that are true of Jesus being King, and they emerge right out of this text here from John chapter 18. The kingdom realities that we need to put our hands around so that we do not miss Christ as the King. Recognizing him as such may take a little searching on your part. You may have to look. And Christmas is a time where people look carefully at gifts anyway. Do you have anybody at your house who knows what's in the box before it's open? There's someone in my house who is either telepathic or x-ray vision, or he's good at unwrapping and rewrapping presents because he always knows what's under the tree. And he has got it figured out. In fact, he's got his shopping all done, and he's got his presents that he's giving under the tree. And if you put something under there, he knows what's in it. And that's what kind of persistence I would encourage you have today about examining the Christ gift. That he said he came to be King. And I want you to tune up your senses to say, what does it mean then if he's King? If he really is the King whom God promised, prophets affirmed, an angel announced, and he himself declared in his life, you say correctly, I am King. And what does that mean for you? What does it mean that Christ is King? I'd say your ability to experience the comfort of God through Christ the King is tied to your understanding these three realities about the kingdom Jesus brings. Now let's look at it. Number one. The first reality is that the kingdom that Jesus brings is not a kingdom of this world. It is a different kingdom. It is not an earthly kingdom. It is not a kingdom of politics and world governments and rulership on earth yet. Watch what he says here in chapter 18 and verse 33. Chapter 18. And actually we'll start down at verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom had been of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. In other words, my kingdom is not of this realm. It's not of this earth. It's not in this domain. It is of a different dimension. The kingdom that I am bringing is of a spiritual realm. It's not of a physical, political, geographic realm. It is a kingdom in a spiritual realm. And this makes perfect sense then that the Son of God who was born of a virgin brings this kingdom. For no one else could bring a kingdom of a different realm than one who left heaven and came to earth to bring this kingdom to us. This is a spiritual kingdom, not a kingdom. And that's why we do not fight in this realm. It's interesting. Jesus says, if my kingdom were here, then my disciples, my followers would take up the sword. And you know that he told Peter not to take off anybody's ear. You know, don't do battle here in the garden, because this is not the kingdom I lead. I am a king of a spiritual kingdom. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the kingdom we are part of is a spiritual kingdom. And if you understand that Jesus wants to rule in the spiritual realm of your life, if you understand that he came in order to grasp onto your heart in the spiritual dimension and pull you into relationship with him and be the lover of your soul and the forgiver of your sins and the giver of eternal life to your life and mind and soul, then you have comfort. But if you don't understand that the kingdom he's talking about is of a spiritual nature, you will miss the comfort he wants to bring. Now watch this. If you hold your finger here and turn to the right in your Bible to Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks forward at the end of his life of the spiritual reality of the King, Jesus, and the kingdom he brings. And what he speaks of is a king who came to do spiritual battle and deliver people spiritually into the kingdom of God. And this is the way Paul describes it in Colossians 1, verse 13. For he, speaking of Jesus, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And suddenly, that's where it all opens up. That the kingdom that Jesus brings is a kingdom that is spiritual, and it begins with a spiritual renewal of all who are a part of his kingdom through the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of a heart and the dismantling of darkness that covers life and ushering into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. How does that happen? That happens when each of us individually understand who Jesus is and we say to him, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for you. The king comes. And it's a kingdom of light, a kingdom of, not of this world, a spiritual kingdom. Secondly, notice from John chapter 18, that in verse 37, Jesus says that the kingdom reality that he brings is that his kingdom is for those who hear his voice. So Jesus says, you have said correctly, I'm a king. I was born for this. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world, to testify of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The kingdom, an entrance into it, is reserved for those who hear him, who hear his voice, and understand the truth that he is proclaiming, that through the forgiveness of sins, you may enter into the kingdom of God. And clearly what he's saying is, not all hear this voice. And this is where I say to you, this is the comfort of forgiveness that is for those who hear Jesus say, for this I was born. I was born for the forgiveness of your sins. I died for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is the kingdom into which I want to bring you. Hear my voice. Throughout his life, people missed his voice. I don't want you to miss his voice today. I don't want you to miss what Jesus is saying, that I have come for comfort, the comfort of cleansing, of guilt, for the renewal of a heart that longs for God and loves God and delights to be right with God and knows that there is nothing between my life and God because I have been forgiven. So that I could say, how happy is the man, how cheerful and blessed is the woman whose sins have been forgiven. That's why I came, Jesus said. I've come to be the king of your heart. Do you hear my voice? Can you hear the voice of Jesus saying, if you do not hear his voice, you can't be a part of his kingdom, and you jeopardize this great comfort of being with him. And the comfort is the peace of knowing how my sins are forgiven. Now, his kingdom, thirdly, comes to bring lasting peace. Lasting peace. There's a sense of eternity that this king is ruling over a kingdom that is going to be forever. And the lasting kingdom is a kingdom of peace, peace with God. I want you to turn one page to the left in your Bible to chapter 16, and let me show you one more quick reference that refers to the reason Jesus came into the world to be the king. John chapter 16 and verse 28. Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Another statement, right, declaring clearly that Jesus had a pre-existent, eternal existence with his Father in heaven. And in chapter 16 of John and verse 28, he said, I came forth from the Father, I've come into the world, I am leaving the world, and I am going again to my Father. What he says later, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But notice in verse 33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have, what? Peace. You may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. While you live in the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Who can overcome all the world? Who is able? Who alone is able? The King of Kings. The one who is the conquering king, the king who will rule in all of eternity. He is the one who is able to overcome all. This is why I came, he said. Now in the world you may have tribulation. Yes? And all of us would say, yes. We're reminded that tribulation follows all of us. And Jesus affirmed that all of us would experience a kind of tribulation in the world. And our king doesn't necessarily shield us from that. It is anticipated that we would experience tribulation in life because we are members of his kingdom and because life is broken. And life is fallen until the king restores all things. Our king doesn't shield us from that, only says, take courage, I have overcome the world, and I will give you peace in the midst of it. I was watching a little television this week and saw again a television preacher who affirmed that life ought to be absolutely prosperous and everything should be wonderful and you should get that promotion and that bonus and that new car. Amazing stuff. And so far from what Jesus said right here, you see it right here, Jesus, words of Jesus. This could be a good life verse. In the world you will have tribulation. Because it will recalibrate your framework for life that Jesus said, it will be that way. And I'm still king. It will be filled with tribulation, and you can overcome that. You can have peace in the midst of it. You can be anchored in knowing that I will give you peace in the midst of that. Because I'm still king. I'm still king. Now the comfort he brings is comfort in the midst of every experience of life. And every carol we sing, virtually, has a reference to this is Christ the King. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. What's next? fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, the night when Christ was born. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star so sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Before him, lowly bend. Behold your King. Before him, lowly bend. The great words. The King of Kings, unrecognized by legions, but recognized by all who hear his voice and say, to your kingdom I come. And all we know is that he's coming again to restore a kingdom that will be of this realm, and it will be an everlasting. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. What's the next word in the Hallelujah chorus? Hallelujah. Oh, save God. I urge you not to miss Christ, who comes to bring the comfort of his own rule in our life. I guess this is the way we must close this morning. If Jesus Christ, born in the manger, is King, then what? And that's really the question. If he is King, then what? Then he desires to rule, to reign, to govern. And all who are in the kingdom of God follow his rulership. And they walk after him. And they follow and yield and submit and say, Lord, rule in my life. What you lead me to do, that's what I'll do because you are my King. Let's bow before him. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. This is Christ the King. And Lord Jesus, we bow before you today and know that in submitting to your rule, there is peace. When you are on the throne, there is rest. There is forgiveness. There is joy. There is a life that flows from you to me in the midst even of trial and tribulation, of sorrow and suffering, that allows us to experience a settled disposition of peace because God is on the throne. You rule. And so we invite you to rule in our lives today and bring the comfort of peace that goes beyond our understanding, beyond our experiences, beyond our circumstances. I pray for some who may be here today who this morning have heard your voice for the first time in a long time. They have been hearing you say, come to me. Come to me. All who are heavy laden, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you eternal life. I will give you peace. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you will be the one to bring the comfort of your presence and peace in the midst of a season that goes too fast. And we rest in you today and invite you to rule in our lives. Rule over our celebrations, over our families, over our jobs. Rule in our spending and our giving. Rule in our thinking and recreating. God, rule in our planning for the future. Rule in our parenting. Rule in every domain of our life, Lord Jesus. It is not lightly that we proclaim you as King. As such, we kneel before you, and with joy, in hearing your voice, say our lives are yours. And this is our worship to you, King of Kings. Amen.